It's a cliche, but it's pretty true. The reason social networks are so boring is because they're where people go so they can pretend to be more interesting and more happy and more photogenic than they really are. Charlie Wurzel writes about the internet for BuzzFeed. He says that despite all this posturing, there's still one last place where, pretty much by accident, we reveal ourselves in an honest way.
You take a lot of time to craft a tweet, or you take a lot of time to craft, you know, a Facebook post or status. But something like a like or a favorite, they're almost more interesting than the actual, like, content being put out on social media.
Obviously, we know that our likes are public, but we usually think of them as just this furtive smile or nod between us and one other person. Charlie's paying attention, though.
I saw two people, roughly of the same age, roughly in the media industry, and they were, like, favoriting every little tiny, like, missive and constantly communicating in this sort of below-ground sort of way. A few weeks later, I heard these people are dating. So it's sort of like you watch and you can kind of see it play out because people don't think that anyone's watching.
Flirting's maybe the most obvious one, but there's others. Charlie says that he's caught people who are about to leave their job. They started getting suspicious follows and favorites from the new company they were leaving for. And even if you don't catch anybody doing anything scandalous, likes and favorites tell you what someone's paying attention to. And knowing what someone pays attention to could be more revealing than knowing what they choose to say. Of all the social networks, Instagram might be the one that most encourages like voyeurism. You click the following tab and you just get a stream of all the photos your friends have liked.
I don't know. I started to think of that as sort of the more elite version of using Instagram. Like, no, it's not about the feed, man. It's about the the following news. Who's liking what? That's what's interesting.
That's Eric M. He has a blog where he catalogs every single Instagram like from one user, a guy that he's never met, but who he feels like he sort of knows.
So why Drake?
I don't know why I started following, but I did. You know, I would start seeing his likes, and they were pretty infrequent. You know, I don't know how other celebrities use it. I shouldn't even call him a celebrity.
If Drake's not a celebrity, who's a celebrity?
It's true, he's a celebrity, but I also think of him, you know, as an artist.
Do you get a different sense of who this guy is from his Instagram likes and from his music?
I think Drake is consistent. His likes are consistent with how he comes across as an artist.
And what is that? Like,
he's tough and tender, you know? And I think a lot of people say he's, like, more tender than he is tough. I think that might be true. He's not just liking pretty girls. He likes family stuff, too. And he posts pictures of his mom.
I'm worried doing this story that there's a large and entirely reasonable part of the world that just says, who the hell cares what pictures a young musician likes on a social network? Why would this matter to anybody? So I asked Charlie.
So I think with something like a like or a favorite, it's like, you know your world's kind of crossed for a second. You really don't get that anywhere else.
No one wants to admit that this moment is valuable, but it kind of is. Alec Baldwin, a celebrity that I have very mixed feelings about, favorited a tweet of mine last month. And the only reason I mentioned that in the story is because I wanted an excuse to brag. My friend Laura Mayer knows a couple who tag Drake in every one of their photos, just on the small chance that they'll steal a moment of his attention. And actually, those stupid, tiny moments of celebrity attention are valuable enough that there's a counterfeit market for them. In the past month, for no discernible reason, the actor Taye Diggs started following a bunch of friends of mine on Twitter. It doesn't matter that most of them aren't How Stella Got Her Groove Back fans. They still felt flattered. For whatever reason, Taye Diggs had chosen them. And then they found out that actually, Taye Diggs has just been rapidly following hundreds of thousands of civilians at random.
I got the Taye Diggs follow.
Really?
I got the Taye Diggs follow, and I was very confused. And then right after, Montel Williams followed me, the talk show guy. And I was like, this is very strange.
Did you have a theory?
Montel's Twitter bio had his, like, the email to the PR guy inside, and I was like, oh, okay, great. So I just emailed the guy, and I was like, hey, what's going on? He called me right away, and he was like, I don't really know what the thing is with Taye Diggs. That's weird. He's like, but Montel is actually following all these people, and, like, he was following this rash of BuzzFeed employees because his wife loves BuzzFeed and starts and sends him links all the time. And he was like, he is, like, this is legitimately him interacting with you. And
do you buy it?
No. So with celebrities, though, I think you can just tell when someone's being honest. It's getting harder, but it's usually pretty easy to spot, like, a bot. But for someone like Drake, like, it's very clear looking at that his Instagram is, like, an extension of normal Drake. Like, he's sitting there, he's bored like we are, he's killing time in between whatever he's doing, and he's dishing out these, you know, these little notes of approval. And so to look at the whole thing, you kind of hopefully can get this very weird insight into, like, maybe who he is or what he values, as strange as that sounds.
According to Eric's blog, Drake's liked pictures of cute old ladies, cute young kids, one neat sweater, many pictures of himself, a cake with his album cover painted in frosting, and a coconut with his album title branded into it, Richard Branson balancing awkwardly on one leg in front of a jet, a close-up of a manicure where all the fingernails are painted with tiny Drake heads, a man holding a gold bottle of alcohol the size of his adult body while a girl sits on a couch next to him looking very bored. And Eric has stories in his head for each of these, theories about who these people are and what they meant to Drake in that moment. But the best one, the first one, is still a mystery to him.
I don't know if it's someone he knows or just a random person. This little girl and her father at a roller skating rink. And it had like 20 likes. And you know, I have no idea who it was.
This little girl looks terrified. Clearly, she does not want to be on roller skates. Her eyebrows are just two scared diagonals. Her dad's holding her up. He's sort of like hugging her under her armpits. And she's grabbing his hand. He's got that forced smile of a dad who just wants to steal one nice family photo in between tantrums. It's meant to be this tiny lie, and it tells the truth despite itself. I think. Really, we have no idea who the people in this picture are. Drake liked it, though.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team in.
TLDR was produced by me, PJ Vogt, and the Doodlebug, Alex Goldman. Our executive producers, Kat Splodgers, and our engineers, the D-Flizer, Jen Munson. Production help this week from Cameron Lindsay. If you'd like more great stuff, follow us on Twitter, at PJ Vogt and at TLDR. And if you love to be sad, Alex's account is at A. Goldman. You can check out our blog at tldr.onthemedia.org, where we post twice a day. We are TLDR?
No, we don't feel that. A fake friend, where your real friends at? We don't like to do too much explaining. Story stay the same, I never changed it. No, we don't feel that. A fake friend, where your real friends at? We don't like to do too much explaining. Story stay the same through the money and the fame. Cause we started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.